Stepping over a variety of underwear, the stranger touched the wall, scratched on the flaking paint, and sniffed. Turning to the secretary, he took out a striped red notebook and wet a finger on his tongue.
I want a legal history of Towers A and B.
What?
A summary of lawsuits filed, pending, or likely to arise in the future.
There was a disagreement between the Abhichandani brothers, true, over 1C, solved out of court. We are not court-loving people here.
Very good. Are there any peculiar situations?
Peculiar?
I mean family disputes ongoing or pending, buggy system dealings, illegal sub-rentings, transfers of property under the informal method?
None of that happens here.
Murders and suicides, assaults, any and all other things that may make for bad luck, karma, or negative energy in the Vastu sense.
Look here.
Secretary Kothari folded his arms on his chest. The stranger seemed to want to know the moral history of every doorknob, rivet and nail in the society.
Are you from the police?
The visitor looked up from his notepad, as if he were surprised.
We live in a dangerous time, do we not?
Dangerous, the secretary conceded. Very.
Terrorists, bombs in trains, explosions.
The secretary couldn't argue.
Families are coming apart, criminals taking over politics.
I understand now. Can you repeat your questions?
When he was gone, the secretary, though eager to resume his typing, found himself too nervous. He refreshed each day's labours with 2 ready-made sandwiches, purchased in the morning and stored in the drawers of his desk. Unwrapping the second sandwich, he nibbled on it ahead of schedule. He thought of the visitor's jagged upper tooth.
A fellow might not even be in chemicals, might not even have a job.
But the anxiety must have been merely digestive in nature, for he felt better with each bite he took. The residents of Vishram Tower A, thanks to the ledger in the guard's booth, knew the basic facts about the strangers who visited them, something that could not necessarily be said about the people they had lived with for 20 or 30 years. Late in the morning, Mr. Kothari, 4A, their secretary, got on his Bajaj scooter and left on
a business.
Early in the afternoon, while all the others were still working, he drove back, the rear-view mirror of his scooter reflecting a quadrilateral of sunlight on his upper breast like a certificate of clear conscience. From his movements, his neighbours had deduced the existence of
a business that did not require a man's presence for more than 2 or 3 hours a day,
and yet somehow funded a respectable existence. That was all they knew about Mr. Kothari's life outside their gates. If they asked, even in a roundabout way, how he had saved up enough to buy the Bajaj, he would reply, as if it were an explanation,
"Not a Mercedes-Benz, is it? Just a scooter."
He was the laziest secretary they had ever had, which made him the best secretary they had ever had. Asked to resolve disputes, Kothari listened to both parties, nodding his head and scratching sympathetic notes on scrap paper.
"Your son plays music late at night, disturbing the entire floor. True. Yet he's a musician. True."
When the disputants left his office, he threw the paper into the waste bin.
"Jesus be praised, Allah be praised, Siddhi Vinayak be..."
etc. People were forced to adjust. Temporary compromises congealed, and life went on. Kothari brushed his hair from ear to ear to hide his baldness, an act that hinted at vanity or stupidity. Yet his eyes were slit-like beneath snowy eyebrows, and each time he grinned, whiskery laugh lines gave him the look of a predatory lynx. His position carried no salary, yet he was ingratiating at each annual general meeting, virtually pleading for re-election with his palms folded in a namaste. No one could tell why this bland, bald businessman wanted to sit in a dingy secretary's office and sink his face into files and folders for hours. He was so secretive, indeed, that you feared one day he would dissolve among his papers like a bar of Pear's soap. He had no known nature. Mrs. Puri, 3C, who was the closest thing to a friend the secretary had, insisted there was a nature. If you talked to him long enough, you would discover he feared China, worried about jihadis on the suburban trains, and favoured a national identification card to flush out illegal Bangladeshi immigrants. But most had never known him to express any opinion, unless it was related to the game of cricket. Some believed that he was always on his guard because as a young man he had committed an indiscretion. His wife was rumoured to be his cousin, or from another community, or older than him by 2 years, or even, by the malicious, his sister. They had one son, Tinku, a noted player of karam and other indoor sports, fat and white-skinned, with an imbecilic smile pasted on his face at all times. Although whether he was truly stupid, or whether, like his father, merely hiding his nature, was unclear.